y'all. Get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. This is one of your hosts, Mr. David Coker, proprietor of Dave Mark King, promoter, event planner, all around good guy, hanging out with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. What's going on, guy?
Hey, Dave, everything's good. This is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guide, DelawareBlack.com, black media specialist, and the original. And Dave, you already know the rest of it. I ain't even going to finish it. How goes it?
Yeah, he is the original guy.
Yeah, the original Don Dada.
Not good guy. Yeah. Anyway, everything good, man. It's it's a beautiful day today. We had almost a beautiful day yesterday. Did you get the crazy weather yesterday?
Was that a little bit of rain or something?
A little. Oh yeah, you didn't get it.
Oh no, I didn't.
It was how we had those winter squalls that come in for a couple minutes and
I got it.
Did you get that yesterday?
Yeah, because I was driving on the road and it was weird because where I was there was no rain, and on the other side southbound I could tell it was raining, and I was like, this is weird.
Yeah, well, not only did it rain, I mean, it came through like a tornado.
Okay.
And then it hailed.
I did not
it
get that. Too. Yeah, I didn't get that.
Man, that thing came through so quickly. I mean, it was only like 2 or 3 minutes long, man. It wasn't long. But it did some damage in that short period of time. I was like, wow. You know, the weather is so crazy right now. You know, I would just love to sit in like a satellite office or weather office, you know, where they concentrate on weather all the time, just to see all the craziness that's going on around the world with the weather. Because if all of this is tied to global warming and, you know, some of the other things that they've been talking about that's going on, that is really, really something. Because when you see stuff that happened like that thing that came through yesterday, and then how we get those, all of a sudden we're getting the squalls during the winter time. Because I don't remember ever getting those when I was coming up as a child.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Do you remember seeing anything like that?
I can't remember, but we used to definitely get them in Florida.
Oh, you got them in Florida? But
yeah,
not snow? You didn't get snow down there.
No. Well, yes. I mean, periodically we got, you know, flakes, but it was nothing big.
But I'm talking about, yeah, those winter squalls. I've never saw any of those until like the last 5 years.
Global warming.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And even with the weather, like, you know, they were talking about the weather this week. We had 80-something degree weather yesterday. Today was another nice day, but then it's supposed to go down. The temperature's supposed to be in the 60s or something, right? Oh, wow. The rest of the week, so, and rain coming back, so I don't know. But they said April showers bring May flowers, so that's what we've been getting. So, but right, other than that, man, everything's good. You just came back from Florida yourself, right?
Yeah, very, very nice. You know, it's funny because I was thinking when I went down there, I was like, man, the weather's great down here. And then I came back and we were having darn near the exact, because, you know, it was like 80 degrees yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, we had some great weather too.
Okay. You were in Florida, down there rooting your son on for his women meet down there, right?
Yeah, he did very well. 13 and 14, he finished in the Boys and Girls National Swimming Championships. He ended up being 7th overall. He probably could have been 5th or 6th if he had that last day. I think he just got tired. But, I mean, overall, he did very well, dropped a lot of time. So it was good.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, something like that, you can come back with bragging rights or whatever. Now, do they have like an AAU type thing for swimming like they do for some of the other sports?
Yeah, so, I mean, So a lot of times people just call them club,
Yeah,
but
club. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing as AAU, but there's no official, AAU designation for swimming. What they'll either call it is club or USA swimming. So like USA sanctions everything, but some either you swim for a club, you swim for a Y team, you swim for a boys and girls team, stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Maybe we'll see him in the Olympics. Hey, we got LA coming. Yeah, we got LA coming.
That might be right on time for him too.
That'd be perfect timing right there, right? Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, I guess we can go ahead and get ready for the talk about the show. We got some things that we want to talk about. I know. Oh, before we get into that, hey guys, coming up June 8th, right? We got the big event coming up down there at the campground, right?
Yep, Dave, why don't you tell them all about it?
Down at look, he tried to put me on the spot, but see, down at the DNR campground down in Houston, Delaware, people. You guys should know where it is by now because we talk about it all the time. They're going to have a day of music, a day of fun down there. You come down and join your host, Mr. Samuel Bailey. Everybody knows him from the Gentleman of Distinction. He's going to have a day of music and everything down there featuring Best Kept Soul and DJs. I know one of the DJs is going to be our very own Mr. Tim Dog, DJ Tim Dog, and what else are we going to have? We're going to have vendors and so forth down there, right?
Yeah, vendors, a day full of music,
Day
relaxing
full of music.
outside. Yeah, so it should, I mean, should,
Yeah.
and
Should be
Dave,
very nice. Yeah.
I can definitely say a lot of people have been calling the campground every day. So you know what that means? No, you know what it means?
That means money in your pocket and mine.
No,
Oh,
that means they can't read. Because on the flyer,
I know. The flyer says, "Call
yeah,
Sam and
call,
Bell."
yeah,
I know.
exactly. Call Sam and everyone's calling us and we just have to read it right. But I
Maybe
mean,
they
that is
can't get
that.
a hold of Sam. Maybe they can't get a hold of Sam.
Well, I mean, you know how it is. It's kind of like if there was an event going on at your church, people may not even look at the flyer. They're gonna call the pastor directly, be like, hey.
You guys still got cabins and spots still open down there for that event?
No, cabins are booked up as of last week.
Wow. Okay. All right.
We currently have RV spots, but
Okay.
yeah, cabins are gone.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Guys got to come down and check out the DNR campground. It's really going to that, especially that particular day. It's going to be really, really nice. So, come check us out. Come check Leonard and his. I didn't do myself in the family there.
Yeah, you did. You did.
come check them out and have a good time. And of course, great music and just a very nice day. Starts at what time are we starting? At
I
11?
think it's 11 to 6.
Yeah, 11 to 6. Yeah, so you still got time to go somewhere else if you wanted to after that. So all right. So let's get ready to get started with the show. So our first story, it has to do with the Olympics that are coming up. Gosh, I think yesterday I heard somewhere it was 100 days away. It seemed like that's a long time, but
Wow.
the days go by so quickly anymore. So
They do.
yeah. But Nike faces backlash over Olympic uniform reveal. Let me give you a little backdrop here. It says last week, Nike gave a public sneak peek of the U Olympic uniforms expected to be worn this summer, serving as a preview to the Olympics and showcase of Nike's newest technology, the Nike Air event in Paris also reopened a discussion about the controversial choices for professional female athletes, specifically in track and field. Nike Olympic uniforms, Nike track and field uniform, Nike track and field Olympic kits. You know, they were talking about all of these different types of uniforms. What do the uniforms look like? Well, they had Sha'Carri Richardson, who represented Team USA track and field, model one of the uniforms. It says during the event, Nike displayed the men and women's uniform for a variety of sports. However, the track and field uniform caught most people's attention as the women's design features a high hip cut bodysuit. Meanwhile, the men's uniform consisted of a mid-thigh compression short and a tank top. In light of the reveal, social media users expressed their outrage about the design choices. What man, here they go. What man designed the women's cut? One user commented, I hope USATF is paying for the bikini waxes. Another commented. You know, amongst the social media users sharing their opinions, Olympic athletes like Queen Harrison Clay and Femita Iyembekaa chimed in on the conversation. Justice Clay joked that the European Wax Center should be named a sponsor in the Olympic Games because of this uniform design. They said, this is clearly a joke. It says, I'm sorry, but show me one WNBA or NWSL soccer league team who would enthusiastically support this kit. This is for Olympic track and field, said champion runner Lauren Fleshman in an Instagram post. Professional athletes should be able to compete without dedicating brain space to constant pube vigilance or the menstrual gymnastics of having every valuable, I mean, vulnerable piece of your body on display. Women kids should be in service to performance mentally and physically. If the outfit was truly beneficial to physical performance, men would wear it too. So, I did see the, I know I saw the SportsCenter had done a little piece about them revealing the outfits for the track and field team and so forth. And they are high cut in the hips and whatever. And I could see some of the problems that the women definitely have with the uniform because, yeah, it is, it's almost like a bathing suit, but one slip and things can show. I mean,
Yeah, no,
it's
you're right.
definitely, did you see a picture of the uniforms yourself?
Yeah, I did. And I think I saw, I, we probably saw the same one. I saw it on, well, I saw it on a mannequin or on a
Oh,
virtual
you didn't see
athlete.
it. You didn't see Sha'Carri Richardson with it on.
So the one I saw with Sha'Carri, she had the compression shorts on.
Oh, she
So
had the shorts on. Yeah,
yeah.
there was a reason for
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw that one, but
that.
The actual one I saw, I guess it was a virtual reality one or on a mannequin. And they, to be honest, at first I kind of didn't notice because that's what in my mind, women tracksuits look like. And then when I heard people start, complaining about it, I looked closer and I did see how it kind of, and of course, Dave, we're not familiar with all these high hip, terminology, us men, but up in the crotch, front crotch area, it looked like mighty slim pickings as it kind of like went up from the where the legs come together.
Yeah, it's kind of skimpy there. And it's, now I understand a lot of this has to do with, how they're always trying to find something that's aerodynamically, makes the athletes run faster, less wind resistance and all of that type of stuff. But basically, they're going to have people running naked pretty soon. I
Yeah.
mean, I mean, you consider what the 20 years ago, what they were wearing on the track and field. I never forget when Flo-Jo came out in that outfit that she came out in. You remember Flo-Jo, right? And she had the one leg and whatever, and everybody was saying, but what is she doing? She had that one piece on, and everybody was talking about how, how it kind of helped her with, wind resistance and so forth. And then all of a sudden, started noticing a lot of people started having outfits like that. And even, well, you saw what, Serena Williams was doing on the tennis court with some of the outfits that she had. So this kind of stuff, I could see the advantage of the engineering and technology part of it. But you have to be careful with going too far. And, because,
And they, and with that, too far, too fast.
too fast. Yeah. Because I know they also, one of the other models was the Thing Mo. She modeled one of the outfits too. And she was
The
saying,
more conservative one or the more risque one?
she had, well, I think she modeled both of them. And she was like, nobody wants to spend a bunch of time, pulling at this and pulling at that, and trying to make sure that you're not exposing stuff. We're kind of trying to concentrate on doing our jobs. But yet, she said, I don't have to do, like, I don't have to run out of the blocks, But people that have to run out of the blocks, once they go to get down, then they got to worry about what's going on behind them. So, and they said it's not fair because the men aren't going through all of that. The men are wearing outfits that are, basically haven't changed over the years, and then none of the other athletes have to wear that kind of stuff. And why all of a sudden all the spotlight is being put on the track and field athletes? So I just thought it was interesting because it's kind of become a very hot debate, and it's too late to do anything about it because they already ordered all the outfits, and the Olympics is in less than a couple months, and I mean, I guess they're gonna have to figure out how to deal with it,
So I guess my question is, I heard that they had the option. So they could either do the boy, women could either do the boy shorts or I'm just gonna
Oh,
say
the wear with
the coochie cutters. And
it.
I would think a lot of them would probably opt for the non-coochie cutter ones.
But how does that hurt them as far as running it?
So when I was looking at the last, one of Sha'Carri Richardson last races, it looked like she had on boy shorts. So, I mean, they were shorter than the men's kind of boy shorts, but she still had something that kind of came around the leg. So
So
I
the
per I first,
like a shorter bike or short or something like that.
yeah. So, I mean, I personally, I think they'll be okay, but clearly I'm not an Olympic track and field person.
I'm sure. Well, I know with the Olympic trials, they're pretty. I know the Olympic trials, they're kind of lax as far as what the people wear because I noticed that they all have on like pretty much what they want to wear. I mean, they might have Team USA on, but they're not all wearing the same outfit sometimes on the Olympic trials. So, but I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see how far this goes because the Olympics, like I said, will be in a couple months, and I'm sure they're going to try to figure out the best way to keep everybody happy, because they don't want to have, major scandal leading up to the Olympics, especially the Americans, because they really have a good shot of doing some big things on the track, this year. So we'll see what happens. So, but I saw that story. I just wanted to mention that particular story, because I'm sure that it's not going away, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about it. So, okay. Moving on. I spent a good part of yesterday just listening to a lot of this stuff. I don't know if you have. Have you been following the Rick Ross, Drake, and all of them guys beefing? Have you been following?
I've accidentally seen some of the videos.
It's really crazy. I mean, you got some of the biggest rappers in the world. I mean, and let's name everybody that's involved. You got Rick Ross, you got Drake, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole was also in there. What's the other guy's name? I can't think of his name. Future was also in there. The other guy, Duck something. You know what I'm talking about?
42 Doug.
No, I can't think of his name. But he was like, he wasn't as involved as the other guys I named, though. But anyway, for those who haven't, who've been under a rock, let me give you a little backdrop. So these guys have all been going back and forth with each other. J. Cole took the high road. J. Cole said, I'm done with this. He said, yo, look, y'all can leave me out of this. He apologized for what he said, and he just said, I'm done with this. I'm not getting in, getting in deeper with this. But they all, a lot of it's been directed at Drake. Because doesn't Drake seem like that kind of guy that when you were a kid, people be arguing, Drake would be the first one to hit somebody and then run. Drake just seems like that type of guy to me. He says a lot in his word, in his lyrics and whatever, but Drake really don't want none with nobody. He don't, I just don't see him as a fighter. You know what I'm saying? Kendrick, they were messing with my man Kendrick. I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan. I like Kendrick. And they were up there talking about how small his feet was. Said he wears
Damn.
size 7 shoe and all of that stuff. I mean, they, you know, and Rick Ross just went in. He went in on Drake. I mean, he really went in on Drake. So this story that I wanted to come from Rick Ross' angle, said Rick Ross verbally smacked Drake in the face by calling him a white boy. It says Rick Ross Champagne Moments gave, and that was the name of his diss track. Gives us Ross spinning like the devil. This record has ill feel that a diss record should have. Ross sounds slow, smooth, and evil. He calls Drake white boy obsessively. The song is wild. What a time to be alive. We all know that Drake's biracial. He's never hidden that, but many of us think of him as black, or at least as a part of the culture. On this record, Ross is out to change that. And a black space calling a biracial white is a strong diss. It says hyper problematic as well. We shouldn't be excluding biracial people from the black community, but in their rap beef, where all is fair as a way of attacking someone and undermining their credibility and their identity, it's a powerful message. So, you heard the track, right?
I did.
What did you think?
Of the track specifically, or just the beef overall?
The track itself and what he had to say.
I thought the track was okay. I was surprised that J. Cole apologized, and he got a lot of grief over that apology too, because it's that's not something rappers do, apologize. But at the same point, and kind of like you were talking about Drake, I know you said you mentioned him as a kid who'll hit you in the face. I kind of, in my mind, if it was like a childhood person, I kind of consider him that kid who wants to make fun of everybody until it's time to, and then somebody wants to fight, and then like he don't want to fight. You know what I mean? Kind of like
No.
that, you know, kind of
No,
rile
he
them
put all
up,
that,
you
no, he probably put all his bodyguards out there to fight.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be honest, I don't have too much to say. I mean, I did hear Rick Ross's responses. And, you know, I think Rick Ross is, he kind of reminds me of Donald Trump. Like, he's an entertainer. Anytime he gets on, you know, he purposely says stuff to generate attention. So, you know, calling him white boy, talking about his mama, you know, mommy's boy and all that. I mean,
And what's so crazy about this, that these guys have made music together. You know what I mean?
Well, you like, I saw someone, don't,
And I'm not just saying, like,
yeah, made some
couple
hits.
songs. I mean, they made major hits together,
Yeah. I saw someone had a comment and it said, well, he wasn't white boy when he was featured on your album for like one of your hit songs, you know?
making all that money for you, So, yeah, I just thought it was pretty interesting. I was like, what happened here that these two are like this? I thought out all of the tracks, like Kendrick said what he had to say. Kendrick is not going to get too deep into it because Kendrick has a certain image that he likes to present. He's married, he's not trying to get too caught up in that mess, But Drake just likes to keep going. You heard Drake's this song, right? You heard his, right?
I feel like I did.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that it was AI, because a lot of people were saying that a lot of the stuff he said was corny, and it sounded like it was AI generated. But the people were saying that it definitely was Drake that did the song. Like I was listening to Angela Yee's show yesterday, and they kind of did a breakdown of each song and so forth. And everybody's here for the beef, because it takes them back to the old days, whatever. They don't think that anybody's going to get violent here because of the personalities that are involved, but they ain't playing. They ain't playing with the stuff that they're saying, Now, what happens if they lay eyes on each other? Because you just talked about Rick Ross. Rick Ross is definitely a troll type person. He's like 50. Anytime somebody got something to say, Rick has something to say, But it's just interesting. I don't know whether this is just good right now for music, or is it bad for music right now?
It's kind of hard because if I had to pick good or bad, I would just say bad because it doesn't seem like no real beef to me. You know what I mean? And I mean, I'm not as, you know, involved and, you know, knowledgeable, but it doesn't, you know, like I haven't heard any like great lyrics. It's not like Jay-Z and Nas, where, you know, we got Ether, which was a classic, you know, classic disc. You know, I just feel like, you know, it's almost, and I mean, not to say, but like mediocre raps about each other back and forth and a lot of social media talk.
It's almost like, when you look at the individuals that are involved, it's almost like they're setting us up for something. Like all of a sudden, in another month or so, there's going to be a album come out or a song come out with all of them on the same song. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. The only person that's missing is DJ Khaled at the moment. But they're saying DJ Khaled, that type of thing. So I don't know. I hope it doesn't get too deep with any threatening or physical violence, but does it help? In my estimation, does it help the music business? I don't know. The music business seems to be in such a flux to me. I'm not a big fan right now of hip hop music because it all seems to be the same. When your top selling artist right now, and hats off and shouts out to the women, But when you got Sexy Red and who else do I want to put out there? Sexy
Cardi
Red and
B, Megan Thee
Cardi B,
Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion, all these people out there, and they're selling the records. Oh, gotta include Nicki. Gotta include Nicki. And they're selling the records, talking about the stuff that they're talking about. It's really, we're in a really different place in a different day and time, man, when it comes to music. Sexy Red is the, like, right now, they're hailing her as the number one female rapper right now.
Well, Dave, I mean,
And
I did hear the Sexy Red bumping in your car the other day, so I guess
yeah,
I see why.
right. Yeah, bumping in my car. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, this is the culture that we live in, and it's interesting to me. And then when you have this type of thing going on, with, I mean, these ain't no B rappers. I mean, that we're talking about. These are all guys who sell records. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see how this what happens as far as this, whether this is going to keep going or whether it's going to they're finally going to call it quits like J. Cole did, because J. Cole has no sense. He said, "I'm done with this," but just kind of keep an eye out. And for those that have been listening, paying attention to us, to this whole thing, like to know what your thoughts are, so hit us up and let us know. I'm just curious, because is this bad? My question to you guys is this good for bad or good for the music business right now?
Well, Dave,
Let
let me
me
ask you this. If someone disses you in a rap song and they talk about your mama, your girl, your kids, or, whatever is personal to you, if they later apologize, but the song is still out there, do you accept the apology?
No, and that's what happened with Biggie and Tupac.
And the only reason
Remember
I say that is because J. Cole apologized, but everything's already out there, so.
that? Because he already said what he had to say,
Right.
So, and that's what happened with Biggie and Tupac, because Tupac put it out there, that he's sleeping with, Faith. And, of course, they were never the same after that,
Right.
Well, we'll see, and it's hard to take something back once it's been put out there, especially with social media these days. Back in the day, before social media became social media, you can get away with saying some things, and people, like, 'cause not everybody would have heard it.
Right.
But now, if it slips out your mouth and somebody got a phone nearby, they're gonna catch
Yeah,
it. But we'll see what happens, and hopefully this ends in a more positive state than it is at the moment. So
right.
we'll see what happens.
All right,
All
well,
right.
Dave, for our next story, and this is something kind of close to home for us, but there are some civil rights groups who are looking to rename the Baltimore Bridge, the collapsed Baltimore Bridge, because of the namesake's link to slavery. So, of course, everybody in our Middle Atlantic area may be familiar with the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. I'm sorry, everyone in the nation is probably familiar with when the cargo freight ran into the bridge and it semi-collapsed. Of course, there were numerous people who lost their lives, but everyone may not be familiar with the name of the bridge. Of course, as I stated before, is the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and he was the author of the Star Spangled Banner. So there are there's a caucus of African American leaders. Some of these groups in this organization include the NAACP, National Coalition of 100 Black Women, along with others, and they are urging that Governor Wes Moore, a black man, governor of Maryland, and a Democrat, that they rename the bridge to a figure in the anti-slavery movement. So they initially suggested that the bridge be named after Representative Perrin J. Mitchell, who was the first Black Marylander. Damn, Dave, we don't hear that too often, do you?
No.
Marylander to be elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1970. They say that he spent his entire life creating a bridge between the African community and the larger society. So that's why they're selecting him. For anyone, as my partner Dave always likes to say, anyone who has been under a rock, should know that on March 26, a cargo ship crashed into the bridge. They are currently in talks about plans to rebuild the bridge. This bridge inhibits about 11 million vehicles annually. So this is just some of the things that they're looking to do. And even talking about Francis Scott Key, of course, Dave, we heard many times that the Star Spangled Banner is has some racist elements in it. And Francis Scott Key was known to be a slave owner, and he said that Black people were intrinsically inferior as a race. So, so we'll kind of see how that turns out. Well, what are your thoughts? In fact, have you ever been over the Francis Scott Key Bridge?
It's funny, when that bridge first went down, I was like, have I ever been over that bridge? But I couldn't remember whether that's the one. I was trying to remember, like, adjacent to the Chesapeake Bridge. How far is that bridge from that one?
I'm not sure. So I feel like you see it from 95, but
Right,
perhaps.
and I've seen it. I don't think I've ever been on it. But I know somebody. We have a. I told you we had a listener whose granddaughter just 10 minutes prior to had just crossed that bridge 10 minutes prior to it going down.
Oh, wow. Scary. Oh, okay, Dave. So this explains it. Well, hold on. Okay. Well, hold on. Gotta make sure I get my information. Okay. So you know how there's a beltway around Baltimore? Okay, so the beltway is 695 that goes all the way around Baltimore. Okay, so the Francis Scott Key Bridge is what connects the southeastern part of 695, and it crosses, I guess, whatever, the harbor.
So that isn't that the bridge that kind of runs adjacent to the tunnel?
I think it is. And
Yeah.
I think I
Okay.
thought.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So I think I know which bridge you're talking about.
Now, it's not 895. I'm not sure, 95 and 895 run very close together. And,
Right.
sometimes you can take either or. This
Right.
one is a little farther. So according to this map, it's probably about 8 miles east of where, like, let's say 95 and 895 are.
Have you been over it?
Looking at the map, to be honest, I'm not sure. I'm not because most of the time I'm 95.
Is
Huh?
there a connection to Delaware coming from Baltimore on using
No.
that bridge?
No, not really. The only
No.
way
Go ahead.
hold on. The only way it looks like you would take the Francis Scott Key Bridge is if you lived in the Southeast Metro of Baltimore. Yeah.
And I know it's over near the port too. So there's, because I know they were talking about their port has taken a major hit because of that bridge. And how the port of Wilmington has picked up a lot of business because of
Yes,
that
I did see that too.
So,
I'm sure.
You know, now as far as the name change, we have discovered over the years, especially since, in the last 10 years, with all the changes that have been made with a lot of the statues and things coming down, that with people, you know, that we've read about in history, that we know from history, but we found out otherwise. They had other things that were going on that tended to be buried that came to light, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just like what you just said about Francis Scott Keyes, ever since I was in elementary school, I've known that name, you know, because of the Star Spangled
right.
Banner. And, you know, and that's all because he wrote that particular song. He was considered to be, you know, a very prolific history, part of our history. But they don't always tell, as we found, they don't tell us the whole story.
Right.
Or like my man, Paul Harvey used to say, I know you don't know who Paul Harvey is, but Paul Harvey used to do these stories called The Rest of the Story. And in the story, he would tell, I'm telling you, Leonard, some of the greatest stories you ever want to hear was told by Paul Harvey. And what he would do is he would set you up with the story. He would tell you, and he had this real serious voice, and he would tell you the story, part of the story, but he wouldn't tell you, he would always leave certain things out, so you didn't necessarily know who or what or where he was talking about. But
right.
Then he would say at some point, and now here's the rest of the story. And the rest of the story would be all the facts.
Gotcha.
You know, and that's when you would find out who he was talking about or what he was talking about or whatever. Some of the greatest stories ever told. And I just think that we're finding out the rest of the story about a lot of these people that we call heroes or that we thought were great people or,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's why you see these statues coming down. That's why you see these names coming down from off of walls and stuff like that. And a lot of them have been replaced with African-Americans and so forth who really did do the work, who really did deserve to be honored, you know. When the movie about the Tuskegee Airmen came out, you know, we didn't know that story,
right?
You know, or the women of NASA from when the movie about yep. the women from NASA,
Hidden Figures,
we didn't know that story.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Hidden Figures, we didn't know that story. You know, and this has been going on for years. So it's always good when the truth is found out and people make a big difference. Well, they try to go ahead and make the changes that needed to be made.
Right.
So, and that's why, then, you know, that's what I got to say about that anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. I think what they say, what's done in the dark comes to light. And, you know,
there
a lot of
you
these
go.
Things are coming to light years later.
Yep, there you go. That's true. That is true. Well, hopefully they go ahead and get that changed and to somebody worthy of the change. Okay. All right, so we're going to move on to our next story. And I saw the story and it made me think because a lot of people have this issue and it's not talked about enough. And of course, it explains a lot that goes on with the aftermath of having a baby. So Halle Bailey, who is part of the singing duo Halle and Chloe and Halle, or Holly and Chloe, which way does it go? Holly and Chloe. Well, now they're both separate, you know, now they're both solo artists anyway. But is giving her fans an honest look at what life looks like just a few months after becoming a mother. Now, for those, like Leonard says, I like to say all the time, who have been hiding under a rock, knows that Holly just had a baby recently, a few months ago, her and her rapper boyfriend, DDG, excuse me, just had their first child together. The child's name is Halo. And as she continues to navigate her new post-baby life, Bailey took to Snapchat to let her followers know that she's holding up, which is when she revealed that her postpartum journey has come with a lot of struggles. She said that I have severe, severe postpartum, Holly revealed on her Snapchat story. I don't know if any new moms can relate, but it too is to the point where it's really bad and it's hard for me to be separated from my baby for more than 30 minutes at a time before I start to kind of freak out. Some of her struggles also stem from the changes her body has gone through since giving birth. Admittedly, that she is having trouble feeling normal in her own body. I feel like a completely different person when I look in the mirror, Bailey admitted. I just feel like I'm a whole new body and I don't know who I am. She also went on to talk about the stigma surrounding postpartum depression, pleading for empathy for not only herself, but for other mothers going through the same thing. And I do think there's a little bit of stigma when you hear about people talking about postpartum, Bailey began. Now going through it, I feel like it feels like you're swimming in the ocean that's like the biggest waves you ever felt, and you're trying not to drown. She thanks her boyfriend DDG for being there because he's been amazing, as she said, and he's been really a big help in helping her to cope with everything that she's coping with as a new mother and, of course, dealing with the depression that she has. Have you heard much about, or have you ever had to deal with postpartum depression? As far as, when your children were born or any of that type of thing?
No, and luckily, I don't believe I did. And if it was minor enough that, I don't think we need at that time we needed to do anything extra or seek any extra counsel or anything like that. But I do, and actually, Daisy, I don't even know if I didn't know anybody personally, but of course, us covering news and trends, and just doing research. I've heard of many people talk about it. A lot of people document their stories on Instagram and TikTok. So I definitely believe it's the real thing. I don't discount that at all. And, hopefully we can kind of get more information about it and be more sensitive to it. I think us as men, I think sometimes we can't relate. But, I think documentation and time has shown that this is a real thing. And, unfortunately, women are definitely having some issues with it. We've heard about people committing suicide, people harming the child, people going into, just a deep, deep depression. I don't doubt the validity of, anything that any of these women are saying.
Yeah, it's definitely a real thing, and I have been through it before with my youngest son, when my youngest son was born. What happened was the fact that it had been like not have any more children after he was born because he had a really extremely hard pregnancy and he was dealing with some female issues that would probably stop her from having any more kids. So, you know, 12 years go by, man, we ain't thinking about that. We ain't thinking about having children or anything like that, right? She was 37 at the time. I was 35. She was a couple of years older than me. So, you know, we're thinking that we're, you know, done with children, you know, at that point. Then we find out she was pregnant. And actually, she was 4 or 5 months pregnant when she found out she was pregnant. We didn't know she was pregnant. So it was really hard on her. She had, she was in labor for a long time. She finally delivered. We knew something. She wasn't, you know, she was in the hospital for a couple of days and, well, not a whole couple of days, like 2 days. Let me see. She had the baby. Yeah, 2 days. And she comes home. We knew something. She wasn't right. We knew something wasn't quite right with her. Within 2 weeks, Leonard, she was in the hospital, back in the hospital, because she had a stroke. That baby took so much out of her mentally and physically that her body just shut down on her. Now, she ended up in the hospital for a couple of weeks. They got her, you know, they worked on her and got her back together again. But she was never the same mentally. And we found out later on she was going through postpartum depression. And there's so many different versions of it, you know, because you have the versions where you don't feel like you're doing enough for the baby. You don't feel like you're worthy of, you know, that you're a good mother. Some women even are angry and they are worried that they might harm the baby.
Oh, wow.
It's so many different versions of things, you know, and then of course you have to think about yourself. I mean, think about what the women are going through physically, because like Holly said in the article that you just heard me read, talking about her body, you know, now you're also dealing with the fact that your body's changing and trying to get, you know, some women, because, you know, you hear about women going right to the gym as soon as they can, you know, and they said that's sometimes the worst thing you can do, because you're not going to just because you want to get exercise. You're going because you're trying to get that body to snap back, which puts a lot of pressure on yourself to do that. So there's a lot that goes on in that whole postpartum thing. And of course, as men, there's no way that we can know everything that's going on with a woman once she delivers. But we have to kind of take note of some of the cues that are given, so we can try to do some things to be there for them and help them out. They may not want you to,
right?
But you still have to try, because it is a lot. You know, that depression thing is deep. And, you know, when I saw this story and you know, it just kind of took me back to what I remember. And then I've dealt, you know, I know other women that are going through that depression and that postpartum depression. And especially it depends on, a lot of it can be based on age. Some, not necessarily that it's because just the older women who have babies that deal with it, but a lot of younger women do because they get scared. I mean, they're, you know, It's one thing carrying the child, but now you got to take care of the child
Right.
when the child is here. And that's a scary thought, especially if you're doing it by yourself. So, and this ain't no overnight. this is not like
Right.
when you're babysitting or something like this. No, this is for at least the next 18 years.
Right.
That you got to do it. So, so anybody going through something like this is definitely something that people need to kind of pay attention to and, make sure to try to be as helpful as possible to that new mother. Hopefully that they're getting the type of help that they need, mentally and also physically to be able to deal with the things that they're, whatever it is that they're going through, that's very important. I saw the story and yeah, it kind of hit home for me and mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to bring it up. So, but that is something that's very real. That postpartum thing, that ain't no joke, man. It really ain't. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah. So, you guys have, I know we have a lot of women that listen to the show. If you guys have anything to add about that, definitely feel free to put that out there to us and let us know. All right. It's time for Leonard's favorite part of the show. Dave's Corner. So today's Dave's Corner question is this. All right, Leonard, give me three popular movies whose plot or storyline was so ridiculous people loved and watched them over and over again.
All right, Dave, I'm going to give you, and this is in the order that it popped in my mind. Baby Boy.
I think I already know one of your movies, but go ahead.
Which one?
Baby
Okay.
Boy. You said Baby Boy. Okay. Yeah,
Baby Boy.
Now, why was that ridiculous? Tell me why.
Because no man could have been like Jody, a.k.a. Tyrese Gibson. You know, he was living with this girl.
Except Tyrese Gibson.
Yeah. He was living with this girl. He got kicked out. He was messing around on her. Then he went to go live with his mama and got kicked out. And it took him to go back to live with his mama to learn how to treat his girl right after, was it Snoop Dogg? No. Yeah. Yeah, Snoop, after Snoop Dogg treated her wrong and his mama kicked him back out. And then the whole time of the movie, they kept on going back to like, showing him in the womb, heartbeats, So, I mean, it wasn't the best storyline, but I can tell you, Dave, I knew every word of that movie.
Yeah, most black people know Baby Boy. Okay. All right.
Yep. My next one is Friday.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. The
because
original
Dave,
Friday.
Yeah, Dave, how do you get fired on your day off? We're stealing empty boxes.
Yeah, no, that was crazy.
Yeah, so that's my next one. And then my last one is going to be one of Dave's favorite movies. Soul Plane.
Oh Lord, that's your movie.
and Dave, I'm just gonna say Soul Plane because it did not make a damn bit of sense, but it was funny as can be.
People, let me tell you, if you ever hear any list that we've ever talked about that had to deal with movies, somehow this movie makes it in on Leonard's list all the time. I don't know how he does it. But he seems to get this movie in.
Which one are you talking about? Soul Plane?
Soul Plane, yeah. I'm talking about Soul Plane. that's his movie, people. So, and as ridiculous of a plot that movie was, about a black plane on spinners and all kinds of stuff going on the plane. Yeah, so they had a little nightclub in the plane and all kinds of stuff so going on. So, okay, all right. So those are your three, huh?
Yep, Dave, what about you? Give me three popular movies whose plot or storyline is so ridiculous, but people love and watch them over and over again.
My first one is one of my favorite movies of all time, even though, and it still holds up pretty well. But to do what they did in this movie and think that it really could really happen was really ridiculous. And that was the movie Face Off
John Travolta and
John
Sam Jackson.
Travolta and Nicolas Cage.
Oh, Nicolas Cage, that's right.
Yeah. And remember, the whole premise of the movie is how they switched faces. Supposedly nobody knew that they were, who they were, that they had switched faces or whatever. But a lot of action in the movie or whatever. Very popular movie though, but it just didn't make any sense. That didn't make any sense. So that's my first one. My second one was one that I'm surprised you didn't mention. White Chicks.
There it is.
The fact that you got these two black guys who were wearing makeup and everything to become white girls,
White face.
and what?
They were in white face.
Yeah, it ended up looking like who was it that they said that they look like for real? Who's little gosh, who was the person that they said that they look like? Oh man, I can't think of who it is. But anyway, but that was the Wayans brothers, Sean and Marlon playing that role, playing the roles of the two white chicks. And that movie was funny. It was really funny. Yeah. And what you call made it funny too.
Terry Crews.
Terry Crews. Yeah. Yeah. They made it funny too. All right. And my other one is E.T.
Okay, you took it back.
I took it back because ain't no way. Especially in a black neighborhood, some aliens gonna come from space, and you're gonna befriend it and have it hanging around with you and riding the bike, and it takes you up in the air and all kinds of craziness. No,
Hold on,
no, no. We
what was that, a black boy?
no, it wasn't a black boy.
Oh, you said in a black neighborhood.
I said no, in a
In
black.
a black,
That wouldn't
okay.
happen in a black neighborhood.
Yeah, Dave, you had me over here Googling E.T. cast. Come on, I
You
thought that
don't
was a
remember
white
E?
boy.
You didn't watch E.T., man? Please
No,
tell me not.
I mean, I did, but we didn't have no VCR growing up, so when I saw it in the movie, that was it.
So the Wayans brothers can make go ahead and do it, do E.T., with black people. So that would be cool. I am going, but that movie would never, that. No. First of all, I don't care what neighborhood you live in. If the aliens come into your neighborhood, I don't know how many. Well, no, never mind. I'll take that back. I'm gonna throw another movie in as a caveat because it was hysterical and so fun, so ridiculous. It was funny. I'm gonna get you,
Yeah.
sucker.
That
All the
is
stuff that
funny.
went on in that movie was crazy, So. But that movie was hysterical. So, but those are my movies. That's what I'm sticking to right there. You guys tell us what movies you got, with that's so ridiculous, the plot so storyline so ridiculous, but yet everybody loves those movies. Everybody watches those movies. So feel free to drop it in our chats or send it, put it on our newsandtrends, .com page. Our Instagram page and whatever our Facebook page is, so you can put it on and let us know. Okay. Anything you want to add before we sign off there?
No, Dave, just same old, same old.
Yeah,
No,
okay.
that was it. That was it right there.
Okay, all right, Leonard Simmons. Okay, all right. All right, folks, well, that's it for tonight. We will be talking with you guys real soon. We have some guests coming up pretty soon, so just make sure to pay attention to, our postings and whatever, and we'll keep you informed, okay? All right, have a good night. Take care.
Join us next week for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.